It's great to be here today to talk about generosity. Now, if you were to think of somebody who is very generous, now, it's not about money, but no, not just simply about money, but somebody who is very generous, just have a little think. Could you name somebody, or could you think of somebody in your head? Okay, thank you. But somebody in your life that you could say, yes, they're a very generous person, and perhaps you have been blessed by their generosity. It's good for us to think of somebody here on earth, but it's even better for us to start with God. God is where we start when we think about being generous. He made the first move of generosity towards us. He was the first one, and he was also the most generous giver of all. He gave beyond, and in John 3:16, it actually tells us how he went beyond his giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God's generosity begins in his heart. And then from that space, he gives. He loved, he gave. He loves, he gives to you. For us here today, I would say for most of us, we're disciples of Jesus Christ. We sit in this space because somewhere at some point we heard about Jesus. Somebody shared the good news of Jesus with us. And at that point, we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's why we sit here today, because we want to continue to learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to be a disciple. What Jesus did with his 12 disciples is what gets repeated year after year after year after year. Disciples telling other people about Jesus. You have or are a disciple. You have been or you currently are a disciple. And it's not just telling other people about Jesus, but it's how you're living your life. So Jesus actually expects us as his followers to live life with generous attitudes. So we are going to have a look at this parable today that these guys read very well to us. And you may have picked up something in the readings. The first Bibles that were used talked about bags of gold. And then another Bible talked about talents. They're actually the same thing. We know the word talent as having a talent for doing something. In Bible times, the talent was actually a weight. It was a metal. It was a weight. So bags of gold, obviously the metal was gold. So just in case you're going, I don't understand what happened in that reading. We went from bags of gold to talents. We're all on the same page. Jesus was a master at teaching, and particularly in telling stories. You may know someone who is a really good storyteller, and they really get you in and can tell you a story and engage with you. Jesus was a master at doing that. So throughout the Gospels, you'll actually see a lot of parables, which are earthly stories that he used to teach much deeper truths. And he used everyday events for telling his parables. And as I said, they were to actually teach more spiritual truths. So this particular parable falls into a section where he's just beforehand talked about the parable of the 10 virgins, the bridesmaids who were waiting for the wedding. If you go back through Matthew, the parable of the tenants, the parable of, I've lost it now, lots of parables. He did talk about lots of parables. And this particular one comes in a part of his teaching his disciples from a question that they actually asked him. They said to him, how will we know when it's the end of time? What will be the signs? They wanted to know when the end of the world would happen as it had been predicted. And Jesus actually said to them, nobody knows the day or the hour except my Father God. And the important part is not to know the day or the hour, but the important part is how you live in the waiting for that day or that hour. So this particular parable is actually about teaching us, what do we do while we wait? While we are waiting for Jesus to return, or perhaps we will go to be with him before he actually returns. How are we as his followers meant to live? And he talks about here in this parable, we need to be good stewards. We need to be good stewards of all that we have. Some people think it's just about money, but if you think about all the things that you have money, you may have a place to live, you may have a job, you have family, you have opportunities to do many things, you have talents, you have abilities. So what you have is bigger than just the material things that you can see. And what Jesus is saying here to his disciples, it's about what you do with what you have while you're waiting for me to return. And that's a story, or that's a challenge for all of us. What are we doing with what we have while we wait for God, or for Jesus to return? And it actually has to come back to who owns all that we have. Who owns your stuff? This parable helps us to understand that. If we think that we own it all, then we're probably not going to do with all of the stuff that we have what God wants us to do. But if we have an understanding that God has given us everything, and everything that we have is his, and he has entrusted that to us, then we are going to use what God has given to us to build his kingdom and not to build our own kingdom. So this parable is not unusual in the fact that a man goes away for a long period of time. And while he's away, his servants look after his stuff. And as you saw in our reading, he gives different servants different amounts of property to look after. And it said according to his ability. So we don't need to get hung up on, well, this guy had five and this one had three and this one had one. We don't need to get caught up in our own lives thinking, well, I don't have very much and she has more than me. It's not about the amount. First of all, it's about recognizing that it's been given to you by the master. The master in this parable gave his property to his servants to look after while he went away. God has given you things, people, possessions, property, abilities, to look after for him while Jesus is away. So you are a steward. It's been entrusted to you. So we see that there are three servants, and two of those servants are really excited. And in the Bible reading, it talks about the fact that they went immediately. They went and did something with what they had been given immediately. They didn't waste any time. They didn't sit there going, oh, I don't know what to do. Immediately, they set to work and use whatever the master had given to them. Now, why did they do that? Why were they excited to do that? I believe, and what I've been reading, is it's because about their relationship with their master. They loved, it doesn't say they loved him, but I think they had a love and a respect and an understanding of their master, and a good understanding of who they were and who owned this stuff, that they were keen to go out there and serve and use and do whatever with the property that was given to them. The relationship with the master. And as you see, what they had was multiplied. I don't know what they did with it, but it doesn't matter. I don't know how long the master was away. It doesn't matter. They didn't just sit there doing nothing. Then we come to the third servant. And when the master returns, well, while the master's away, we hear that he actually buried it in the ground, which was a bit of a common thing for keeping things safe. So I don't know if you're living in the same house you've been living in for all of your life, or if you've moved into a house, if it's got a backyard and you haven't been there for a long time, maybe you could dig it up. Maybe there is something of value hidden in the ground in your place, because that was a common way of keeping things safe. Anyway, he decides to bury it and dig a hole and leave it in the ground and do nothing with it. Now you might think, well, that's not a bad thing in today's market, where the stock market is taking a dive and people are losing money. This guy didn't lose any money. He didn't lose it. What the master had entrusted him with, he gave back the same amount. And you might think that's not bad. But when we look at what the other two people do, and when we hear what the master says when he came back, that wasn't what he was meant to do. And I think it comes down to the lack of relationship between this servant and the master, or the servant's perspective on who the master is and was in his character. Because when the master comes back, the servant goes to him when it's his time to give account of what he had done with what had been given to him. He actually blames the master for why he hadn't done anything. Because you're a hard man. I know that you get from, you reap what you don't sow. It's all your fault that I did nothing with this because I was afraid of you. And the master obviously is quite annoyed, because he said, well, if you were afraid of me really, you would have gone and at least put it in the bank so that I could have gained some interest from it. But you were lazy and you were wicked and you just sat on it. So what has this got to do with us? What has this whole parable got to do with us? The first question that will help us to work that out is, who is God to you? What is your view of God? Who is he? What's your relationship with him? Do you live in fear of him? Is it a loving relationship? The next question would be, what are you doing with what God has entrusted to you? Doesn't matter whether it's a lot or whether it's a little. God has given you what you have. And you're to use it not for yourself, but to build up the kingdom of God. And maybe you're holding on very tightly to what you have, when God is actually saying or wanting from you to just surrender that to him and to use it to build up his kingdom. Now, as I said earlier, it's not simply about money. We all have ability to be generous to people. And if you think about the people that you love and care for the most, I'm sure you're very generous with your time. You're very generous in what you do for them. And you may be even very generous with the money that you have to share with them. You don't withhold from them at all. You give because you love them dearly. So for us today, the question is, what are we doing with what God has given us? What are we doing to build up the kingdom of God? It could be as simple as chatting to somebody. Somebody you see somewhere, whether it's here, whether it's in your community. A simple hello to somebody is a generous act these days. It doesn't sound like much, but many people just walk past people, head down, don't want to engage. And maybe you are somebody who is like, I want to say hello. I want to make a difference in someone's life. I believe that God's Spirit speaks to us all the time. And my prayer is that we will listen, that as we go through this sermon series and this teaching about generosity, that we'll actually see it begins with our relationship with God, our understanding of who he is, our awareness that he is the most generous giver of all. He has given us Jesus. He has also entrusted us with some precious things, whether they are family, whether it's financial resources, whether it's talents, whether it's the ability to say hello to somebody, to make somebody feel welcome, to encourage somebody. And he entrusts that to us for the purpose of building up his kingdom. So what are we doing with what God has given to us? As we think about and reflect on that, we're going to sing. And Elizabeth doesn't know, and I know I say this often, but she used the song for the offering. That was the other one that was going through my mind for after today. So that's the Spirit at work as well. I couldn't quite decide which song would be helpful for us to sing. But I just knew that the essence of this time that we would spend together has to be an act of surrender on our part. God gave everything for you. He has called you to be in relationship with him. He has entrusted you with whatever it is that you have in your hands. Will you offer that to him? You can't not offer that to him, because it's not yours anyway. Will you release your hold on it and say, God, use this, use me to build your kingdom. May there be somebody else in the kingdom in relationship with Jesus Christ, because I offered what you have given to me for your purpose. So today we're going to sing the chorus, "All There Is of Me, Lord." If you can't see the screen, it is on the sheets, the song sheets that are provided for you. All there is of me, Lord, time and talents day by day, all I bring to you. It's God's. Everything about you that you have is God's. Today, again, we have opportunity to say, God, I recognize it's all yours and I give it to you. I want it to be used by you for your glory, to build your kingdom, so that there will be people who will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, who will know him as the Lord of their life. One of the first song that we sang, "Crown Him with Many Crowns," it talked about laying down the thrones before Jesus. We've talked before about who's sitting on the throne of your heart. Who is it that's the most important person to you? Only God and you know that answer. But I want to encourage you today that God has great plans for you, that what God has entrusted to you will be used by him for his glory. And you'll actually be blessed on the way, but that's not the reason why you give it to him. The blessing is in surrendering it to him and saying, it's yours. So we're going to sing this chorus, and however God is speaking to you, may you respond to him today. If he has revealed to you that you've actually just buried something in the ground that belongs to him, surrender that to him today. Thank God for his generosity to you. And ask him to show you through his Holy Spirit if there is anything that you are withholding from him that belongs to him. We are Jesus' disciples. We are here to build the kingdom of God. As we sing today, maybe you would like to come and pray here. It's a place to meet with God. It's a place of surrender. It's a place of saying, God, it's all about you. It's all about Jesus. And I surrender my life again today to you. Maybe you just want to pray with somebody who is next to you. Maybe you just want to pray by yourself. God's Spirit is speaking to you. There's opportunity again for us today to say, all there is, God, it's yours. We don't know the day, the hour, the time when Jesus will come again. But we do know what is required of us in the waiting. We do know that we are to be Jesus' disciples. Ask God to help you to be ready. Ask God to help you to use whatever you have to build his kingdom. I want you to have an opportunity just in your hearts to silently talk with God if you haven't already. To ask him to reveal to you any place, anywhere in your life where you are withholding from God what is his, that you are not willing to use for his glory. And repent of that. and acknowledge again that he is the owner. You're the steward. Thank him for what he has given to you. What a gift he has given to you, first of all through Jesus. But then all the things that you have that make up who you are, your talents, your abilities, your family, your opportunities, your finances, your home, he has given that to you. And you have the opportunity to use that to bless others, to use that to build the kingdom. I thank you that you are such a generous God, that you are first and foremost generous to us. I thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you gave all for us. Jesus was the only person that could pay the penalty for our sins, the only perfect sacrifice, and you gave him for us. That blows my mind. And God, I just pray that today, as I reflect on that, that your Spirit would just keep reminding me that I am well loved by you, that Jesus is my Savior. And God, I thank you that you challenge me when I don't allow Jesus to be the Lord of all. When I push him off the throne sometimes and put myself there. Again, that shows that you're a generous God who just patiently works with us. So I thank you, God, for who you are. Today, for each one of us, as we reflect on your word, though it be written as a story, for those of us with hearts and ears to listen, we will see the depth of truth and message that is for us. So God, today you have seen hearts that have surrendered to you again. Hearts that have been bowing in awe of all that you have given to them. And God, we know that you accept and use what is surrendered to you. So God, as we have sung, all there is of us, help us, God, to walk every day in the knowledge of that surrender, that all we have, all we are, comes from you, and we use it to build your kingdom. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust that you will just continue to reflect on God's word to you. His Holy Spirit will speak to you. And give you the words that you are needing to hear from him today. I just want to leave you with a benediction. I just ask that you would stand as we finish our time of worship here today. We've talked about everything that we have comes from God. And our right response is a response of worship. So in Romans 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." As you go in this week, whatever it holds for you, your everyday, ordinary life, place it before God. Every day, that you will say to him, all there is of me, use to build your kingdom. God bless you.